Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
And I'm not Brian Keller.
And what the hell are you doing there?
Okay. This is my memorial to the man, Brian Keller.
It really does look like he... I don't know why, but all of a sudden we're in a meeting and Clint just decides to put Brian Keller full screen on a laptop, and the PDC laptop. And frankly, it scared the hell out of me.
It was my way of telling you to code faster. glaring eye of Brian Keller telling you to code better J sharp.
What's funny is at the time while he was doing that, you know, I was actually getting IMs from Keller saying, "I need this from you. I need this from you. You did this wrong." So
it just made it that much funnier.
Exactly. I'm going to hear his voice. "Shut up, Ma. I mean Keller. I mean Ma." Okay, let's get into content. So, big announcements around Windows Live Essentials. Stuff is not out, but there is a website to preview this stuff. First one is Windows Live Sync.
Yes.
So this is, think of it as Live Mesh, which almost everyone I know uses. This is the grown-up, the RTM release of that, perhaps, is the best way to say it.
So I guess the key thing is Mesh was always a CTP. It was never meant, I guess, to go... how to have the growth it had, and then now Sync is the big boy version. It's the RTM release.
Mm-hmm. The consumer-ready version, if you will. So the idea is I have a lot of files. I can sync them on multiple PCs.
Yep.
The cool part that is new to Sync is the ability to, in terms of Mesh users, is the ability for IE and Office settings to actually travel with you. So if you like your Office toolbar, ribbon, your grammar corrections, all that stuff in certain ways, those settings will now sync across all the different machines. Now, I think the one change is the 5 gig to 2 gig for Live Mesh users. If you haven't used it, then obviously it's all new to you. And remote desktop, of course.
Yeah, well, remote desktop has always been there. They improved remote desktop from Mesh. Now, the one thing I really wish would help that would be built in is for my Visual Studio settings to transfer over nicer between machines, because that's what I use, but it's not targeted only at developers. But yeah, Live Sync is and Live Mesh were a great tool. I was slightly upset when I heard about the 5 gig to 2 gig, but then I looked at my total usage, and I'm at like 1.5 gig. At one point, I was at like 3 gig, but that was because I did an IIS SEO search against my... a couple sites, and that's what ballooned it out, because it does download everything on those sites. But you know,
I'm already at my 5 gig limit, so I think for me I'm gonna have to really think about what I want on those 2 gigs.
Yeah, or you can always use there are other products out there that do similar things, but
yeah, I just really like the idea of having the app settings.
I do think that's huge.
And like you mentioned the Visual Studio example, I just hope more applications, or there's a way to...
extend that out.
Yeah, for everything. So the dream that I think a lot of people have is slowly coming... And by the dream, I mean I walk up to a new PC and I had an old PC. My apps come down with me. My settings come down with me. My wallpapers come down with me. My favorites come down with me. It's slowly but surely that sort of... dream is coming.
Yeah. With Live Sync right now, most of my folders actually mimic that kind of dream, minus the programs. But you know, downloading a couple hundred gigs of stuff would be
too Windows much. Settings is another example that seems really in terms of obviousness. Like, hey, I like my wallpaper like this. Or here are the settings, maybe not your display settings, because that's obviously dependent on the machine.
Well, what I did was I actually have a folder that's full of the funny backgrounds I like having, such as Brian Keller. and that's brought down, and I just tell Windows 7, use this folder as for switching my backgrounds.
Well, one example, yes. I think there's plenty of examples where you can imagine go to. Now, the other thing, and there were a number of ones, we both love Sync, and we both use, how many cameras do you own?
Three, four.
I probably own four as well. And the reason we say this is the new Windows Live Photo Gallery has a lot of really cool features. One of them is based originally on research project, but it's called Photo Fuse, where you have two versions of a photo, and somebody's had one of them and they're blinking. You can actually take that other photo, swap the one where their eyes are actually open, and it'll fuse that all together. This is magic.
I
love this.
You just dropped that bomb. I do think we have a first on this weekend, Channel 9.
No, it's definitely not a first, and he's going to edit this, so it's all good.
Okay.
I love this.
I think it's really cool because then you can take multiple pictures, then fuse them all together. You know, you can
take the worst picture of everyone and put it all together, and it's
dude,
like, wow, everybody looks terrible. Some of the other stuff they have is like the touch-up, so somebody has, you know, a pimple or something like that. That's been in there for a while. But another new thing is facial recognition. The idea that it can walk up to a photo and, you know, guess or do the recognition on based on who that person is. And then actually you can tag people using that, so I can see all photos of, say, Clint in my photo collection.
That's really cool. And then I would imagine that would make, I'm hoping this is built in with Facebook, so then when you upload photos, it auto-tags stuff.
I don't know, but that brings us to our next one, which is...
Better sharing
with Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook, like, my big thing is I like having Flickr and Facebook for certain stuff, and I hate having to have multiple apps upload it, and this just takes one click, boom, it's done. Mm-hmm. And I love that feature.
And we're talking Facebook, SkyDrive, YouTube, Flickr.
If there's a publisher in there that isn't there, you can add in plugins. Someone can make a plugin, so you can put it wherever you want.
Yep. This is probably like one of the small features, but I think it's so awesome, is that the improved import wizard. Before it was, I see 300 images on your camera, and I'm going to import them. What do you want to call the folder I'm importing? Well, really, those 300 are, you know, there's 100 for Halloween, there's 100 for New Year's, there's 100 for some other event. You don't want to have them all in that one folder. What this does is actually groups them logically based on date.
Yeah, which, I mean, I think that's a perfectly good assumption.
Yeah, so all the Halloween photos go in one, all the holiday photos in another, and so forth.
Brian, do you think that's a good feature? The stern look, yeah, he does.
Jeez, man, that guy.
I know, nothing impresses him.
So scary, I can't wait to get the life-size version. So changing gears here, we talked about Windows Azure having a CDN, Content Delivery Network, availability where you put things like, these are images, these are videos, zip files, documents, and so forth. This is the announced pricing for using their CDN features, which is 15 cents per gigabyte in North America.
I'm assuming
and Europe.
That's up and down, because I don't see any difference.
I don't think they're doing a lot of up. It's really more down.
Well, you have to get the data up there somehow.
Okay, so maybe it's...
Okay, I'm just basing my assumption on
I think
on,
that is
EC.
A transaction.
Okay.
But then 20 cents for other places, I guess, the cost of, and they I think they said 19 different locations globally. So your data's replicated to 19 of those different places, and it's a 1 cent per 10,000 transactions. So that would be like 10,000 downloads, you have to pay a penny.
Which seems perfectly reasonable to me.
100,000 downloads, you got to pay a dollar, right?
Ooh, a dollar.
Okay. So, next up...
Channel 9 live at TechEd. So, steal your thunder.
TechEd North America.
Yes. We're going to be doing Channel 9 live at TechEd. Now, one big, massive announcement is all the sessions, much like PDC and Mix, will be available for download for free. So if you don't want to go to a session or couldn't go there... You can view it online for free, download it just like Mix and PDC.
That is huge and really shouldn't be understated. You're definitely right there because PPC and Mix, I loved being able to, you know, we couldn't go to sessions, we're doing Channel 9 Live or other events or whatever. Being able to download those videos and watch them, that's awesome. And you have never been able to do that with Tech Ed videos.
Yeah.
So kudos to Duncan and the team for doing this.
Another big thing, because we like self-promotion, is we're going to be doing a Coding for Fun talk at Tech Ed for building out the Windows 7 phone part of our T-shirt robot.
Yeah, so the idea is you want to learn how to build a Windows Phone app. Do it by, we'll show you step-by-step how we built the Windows Phone Canon robot app. And you may get shot with a T-shirt in the meantime.
Yeah, and what's cool is we're doing this all in 75 minutes. And figure we'll only have maybe 60 minutes of actual code time. So it just shows how quickly we can produce something that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll talk about our tips and tricks and a lot of the things we learned around, around the way, along the way. And Channel 9 Live, Monday, Tuesday is the thing till 5 p.m., right after the keynotes. Big names.
So, we have Bob Muglia, the Moo, as we like to call him. You have Mark Rusinovich, now the Roo.
The Roo, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Let that catch on.
We have Jason Zander and many, many people.
Yeah,
more.
Mark Manassi, who's really well known in the community. So the guys from Cloud Clever, David Aiken, Ryan Dunn.
Yeah. Now, one key thing is you did say Channel 9 Live is Monday, Tuesday, but Tech Ed actually spans a period of 4 days.
Yes.
So, like, our session is on Thursday, but Monday, Tuesday, we'll be helping out Channel 9 Live.
Yeah. So, lots of good stuff. Drop by, say hi. Love to see y'all. Silverlight unit testing.
So, okay, so the
cool I'll give the update on this. You get the next one.
Okay, fine. You go. Go. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Jeff Wilcox is the guy who wrote the Silverlight unit testing, SLUT, as he likes to call the acronym. Now, the key thing is the April version only worked with Silverlight 4. And because Windows Phone uses Silverlight 3, you couldn't use the April version for Windows Phone development. So what they've done is released a set of binaries, and binaries only, that I don't think they're officially code signed, but it's basically allows you to have Silverlight unit testing just for Windows Phone.
Yeah, which is very useful, so then people can properly have proper code coverage and know that their stuff will do exactly what they think it will.
Speaking of which, Jeff is giving a session on Silverlight unit testing at Tech Ed.
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar with it, and there's some neat stuff they've done on the Windows Phone version as well. So, cool.
Okay.
This is all you.
Thank you. So this is one of my favorite plugins, ReSharper. So it's AG unit. So AG is the element name for Silverlight. I'm sorry, for Silver. So it's Silverlight unit testing for ReSharper. So you can right-click, you know, tell it to debug with unit tests built into ReSharper. So
And for people who don't know ReSharper, I guess the small amount. And you're a ReSharper fanboy.
I wouldn't go so far as a fanboy.
Okay.
But I do like it. We'll talk about more of that in a second.
Yeah, yeah. But this is ReSharper as a plugin. This is a plugin to it.
Yeah.
And which brings us to our next article, which is Jesse Liberty talking about Code Rush versus ReSharper. And it's true, there really is two different camps here.
Yeah. So I thought he brought up some interesting points, but I wish he would have gone more in depth and did kind of almost like a video game review or
a
product
review.
I wanted a dissection. Because I don't know about, I've never used Code Rush, but I've used ReSharper, and I know I only use a small fraction of what ReSharper can do, but I've learned to code with that, and now if I don't have those things, I found I can't code as well or as fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I actually tried Visual Studio 2010 without it for a month, and finally had said I needed my little crack. So I was hoping he would go a bit more in depth. Hopefully, he'll do that in the future.
I want to see version 2, and it's the detailed 20-page version that we can go through. Because I've used the free version of Code Rush. I've used old school versions of ReSharper, and I was looking at upgrading to 5. There are some people that were complaining about stability issues or problems
for ReSharper 5.
ReSharper 5.
So
and performance.
There was a couple times where Visual Studio would grind pretty much to a halt. What I found was closing Visual Studio and restarting it made it go away. I have not had this happen to me in quite some time now. Mm-hmm. So it may have been I was on a beta or a non-release version of Visual Studio or a non-final version of ReSharper. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't happened to me in such a long period of time that I think that may have been a configuration issue on my end.
So a question to the readers, Code Rush versus ReSharper. Yeah. There's a lot of good comments in here, but what do you all think? Yeah. What do you all use and why do you use it?
Yeah, and I would really like a product matrix saying it has this, it has this, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want the feature comparison chart.
Our friend Brian Peek.
Yeah.
Good
Giovanni's friend, yeah.
Yep. So he's talking about the Wiimote library future. And he's talking about refactoring it along with adding in some two new key features, which are sound and the Wii Motion Plus extensions.
Mm-hmm.
So part of a problem was there were so many new things that kept on getting added on, so the code got a bit messy. So he went out, redid it, and did more of an extension-based model.
Yeah, so he refactored it into exactly that extension-based because, you know, you have this nunchuck, you have the old-school controller, the new DJ Hero stuff that he's working on as well. So.
And then you have the Wii board.
The balance board. Sure.
And he did a really good job. He's still trying to figure out sound and Wii Motion Plus, though, to get it built in.
Guitar was the other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff within there and stuff that you can play as a dad.
Yeah, yeah. So. I was actually surprised the amount of stuff it supports now. Because I just remember back in the day where it just supported that and I was happy.
And nunchuck.
Yeah.
And nunchuck. But same difference, yeah. Steve Marks showed, and he actually has a video that should be on Channel 9 at this point, an episode of Cloud Cover with Ryan Dunn where he talks about this. But it shows how to use Swingify. And Swingify is an app that has an API, Echo Nest API, that converts a song, let's say the Tetris, you know, dun 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 dun, and makes it into like a swing song, right?
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Okay.
Go on. Keller, don't you think you should go on?
God, Keller, that awkward stare really makes me feel ever so at home. So he shows how to use Python, Azure, and the Echo Nest API to do this kind of auto magically. So definitely check out his blog post and the Cloud Cover episode.
Yeah.
So cool stuff.
Now Tim Heuer built
friend of the show.
Yeah, who isn't? built a Microsoft Translator client library for Silverlight. I spent a couple days building out a cool little WPF app that did this, but he did one that did for XNA libraries in Silverlight. I'm sorry, using XNA libraries in Silverlight for Windows Phone 7 to do it, along with for a Silverlight application. And what's really cool with the Bing Translator is it can actually talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
So my use case is there was when I was in Cairo for Imagine Cup, I didn't know what was the proper word to use certain things. Like, you know, I want a sandwich. Now, Cairo is a place where not many people could speak English, so I had to figure out what's a generic term that hopefully they would know. So, like, where's the bathroom? I had to spit out, like, 10 different things, and then finally we were on the same wavelength. So for me, like, okay, I'm in Paris. Where is the Eiffel Tower? And I can literally click that and say, and it will speak it.
You just look around, but yeah, sure.
Do that in downtown Chicago. Try to find the Sears Tower, my friend.
Downtown Chicago? What am I going to wear, a bulletproof vest, for God's sake? Are you crazy?
Yeah, Chicago's ever so dangerous.
It is.
Then that makes me very, very hardcore.
Picks of the week!
Picks of the week! So this was ironic timing because...
This is Phil Hack.
Yes, this is from Phil Hack, copying files over remote desktop. I did not know you could actually do this, is copy files literally as you're remoted in. I knew you could copy text, but I didn't know you could do full-out files and paste them in. But what's even cooler was with Remote Desktop is you can mount hard drives and the accessories on your computer to the computer you're remoted into. So to me, that is huge, because I'm constantly finding myself now having to remote into my desktop here from like a meeting or whatever to figure out something. But there's something on like my laptop in the meeting that I have to copy over. It just makes life a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And it's just there's a button, more button, click it, and then you can add on hard drives and makes copying files to and from a lot easier.
Yeah, and one of the things to call out is this is using Remote Desktop. Same thing applies for Live Mesh.
Yeah.
So you can copy paste from one to another in Live Mesh. So my pick of the week is a new application I found via Blake Handler, but it's an app called Giving a Presentation. And what it does is, Brian's looking at me. It is a WPF app that does a number of things to put your desktop into presentation mode, if you will. One of the coolest things is if you have a bunch of icons on your desktop, which I almost always do, it will take those away while you're doing your presentation, then push them back after your presentation, because I literally have a temp folder that I just drag and drop everything onto, and I'm not sure which ones are in there, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it turns off Messenger, so you don't get the IM from AlphaKitty. All those crazy features. And it's extensible using Math. So what I want to do is actually, you need to contact this guy. I'm giving you an action item to have him do an article on how to build an extension, because I have like 10 different extensions that I'd want to do on here. Cleaning your browser history, upgrading your creating your font size larger, using the turning the Windows magnifier on. Just those little things that we always forget to do.
The font size is huge.
Font size is huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget to do that for our presentation.
Well, I only do it on the system one, but you can do control mouse wheel now with VS 2010. To dynamically
change. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So the primary reason you do that is for you choose extra large fonts and system fonts, so that way things like the properties window, when you're in Visual Studio, the properties window looks really a lot larger. But sometimes you just want to use magnify for that anyways.
Yeah.
Either way, it's extensible. There's a lot of people that do presentations. We should all be adding our best stuff in there, and you can always just checkbox, decide whether to use it or not.
What's really cool about this is that it's open source on CodePlex also.
Yeah, absolutely. So, cool stuff, and that is this week's show. Thanks, everyone. And thanks, Brian, for...
best toy ever.
And he'll be in my nightmares. Thanks, everyone.